Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It is really in again, and this is a podcast on the fly. It is currently 6:48 a.m., and I'm about to leave for Colorado for spring break. So, I am going to do this podcast as quick as possible. I don't even have the high-quality microphone. I'm just using the microphone off my brand-new MacBook. So, that's why the audio sounds as it does right now. And this is going to be a Narnia News in a Nutshell edition, just because of the craziness of getting ready for spring break and everything, and with the three exams I've had this week, it's just not a possibility to be able to schedule a council meeting. So, welcome back. We've had quite a bit of good news recently, and a lot of it, the biggest piece, of course, has been the Journey Back to Narnia video, which I currently have in HD right now. And I'm going to just go through the video briefly and what goes on there and just give some of my thoughts. Of course, we get some great new shots of Adamson and the crew, Howard Berger and everyone giving their thoughts. And it's really interesting. One thing, again, I just love that with the look of this film is the cinematography and the colors. I love how, and we've seen some old shots again, but a lot of the shots have been more intensified and they're more green. And we get a couple more shots of the Telmarine army, and you know, Adamson says at this point that it's a much more gritty film. And it's interesting that he chooses the word gritty, because that's a word that we often use in how we think Prince Caspian should function. And, of course, a lot of the people seem to really enjoy the fact that it is a darker film. They do say it is a darker film, and it's more serious and more grown up. And I think that's I think it's somewhat appropriate. I don't think that it's just following the, oh, let's make it darker route. I think it really is a necessary film to be just a little darker, a little more serious, and less of a fairy tale. And we have that famous shot of Caspian looking up, and we now have it in HD, which is good. It looks like he's standing just in front of the statue in front of Aslan's house. Or not the statue, I'm sorry, the old ruins and the pillars. And here we have, I think, I'm not sure, possibly, the shot of Caspian riding down, and it looks like they changed the background on us, like it's no longer through the woods. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of shots of Caspian, and we have Ben Barnes, and of course we have William Moseley talking about how much in this film there's many more battles. And Adamson points out, whereas the battle was really the climax in the first film where everything was leading up to it, and in this film the battle leads up, all the battles are what's leading up to the ending. So there is definitely a different focus here, and I think it's kind of emphasizing we may not just see, oh, here is the really big battle. It's probably going to be more of, oh yeah, they've been fighting for a long time, and we're going to get different shots of different battles, and it may be hard to tell which battles are completely separate battles. We also see a lot of shots of the Night Raid. I will say it looks like some very good combat in that scene, and I love, of course, just seeing Peter and Caspian fighting. It's really interesting to see Peter fighting against humans, though. He's definitely using a different type of style from when he fought against the creatures in the first film. And one thing, this could be really interesting, they show some previs of the fawns and the griffins, and you see the fawns running, and they jump up and bounce off the walls, and they come down on a Telmarine guard, whereas the Minotaurs just charge right through them. And you have griffins flying, and they pick up a dwarf as they go, and the dwarf shoots. And that's really I don't think it's cheesy. I really do think that it's bringing a level of realism to that the books would have had to life. Whereas in the books, you didn't really. It's not something you would necessarily think about a lot, but it is something that you would really have to consider with these creatures being as different as they are. And we have some more shots of the Telmarines running again, towards the bridge. Oh, we have a shot of Susan shooting a Telmarine off a horse. And she has her bow and they have their crossbows. So Susan does kill in this story, it looks like. But overall, I do feel good about the film. I think that it will still be a very well-made film, and that even if there's some things that we really don't want changed, that hopefully some of them will be things that, you know, we can look at later and say, yeah, it's a change we don't like, but it's not necessarily a bad change in and of itself. So we'll have to see. It makes me look forward even more to the official trailer, not just the teaser trailer. Next, Narnia Spain interviews Alicia Borrachero and Sergio Castellito, and they get to talk and share their thoughts about the film, so you can check on that. That was narniaspain.com. Also, BBC is going to be doing an interview with Ben Barnes. If you missed the opportunity to give him a question, I'm sorry. That's it. People sent in questions, and Ben Barnes is going to be asking them. It is early in the morning for me, even. Yeah, but I am on a sugar high, actually. This is a preemptive sugar high, because I have not yet had breakfast. Anyway, we found out that the Prince Caspian premiere is going to be in New York City. And I don't know why. I'm wondering why it's not in the UK, since this is supposed to be a British film. I really don't get it. I think, personally, I think the film, the world premiere, I think it'd be great if it was in Belfast, because, of course, Lewis was a Belfast man. But, anyway, the red carpet preview event is to feature Prince Caspian. And, and you can win, from HarperCollinsChildren.com, you can enter a contest to win a trip to the premiere. The grand prize winner will receive a 4-day, 3-night trip or two to New York City to attend the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. And it, covers ground transportation, round trip, airfare cost to New York. And so, and it's open to all legal residents of the U.S. except those of Canada and Hawaii, and all Canadians. So Americans, Canadians, age 10 and up, go ahead. And I actually haven't entered. I've been so busy. Oh, I'm really excited about this one. The Prince Caspian soundtrack is releasing on May 13th. And once again, this is Harry Gregson-Williams who's doing the soundtrack. And I am definitely going to be buying this. I'll probably pre-order it since I love Gregson-Williams' work. And next, HarperCollins is launching a Read It Before You See It campaign for people to read the book. And they say, read it before you see it. And I believe there's now a Facebook page saying, read it as you've never seen it before. But, Prince Caspian on Facebook. It's amazing. We also have here it is, the new Prince Caspian Facebook page from HarperCollins. That is, there's a Prince Caspian widget, of course, and there's a Prince Caspian Join the Battle application. When you add this application, you answer trivia questions from different Narnia books, and you get exclusive content to the upcoming movie. So that could be cool. We can check that out. And finally, AintItCoolNews.com visits the Prince Caspian set And they have their set report here. And we do warn that there is strong language. They also have a YouTube video of the Power Risers, I believe. That's what Fantasia Kitty wrote in her news thing here. But yes, so a lot of news, a lot of interviews. I've just pointed them out. I have not been able to read them all myself. But there is a new Narnia Web poll I'll just mention here real briefly. A commonly discussed topic among fans is which order the books should be read. For a first-time reader, which would you recommend? The original, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe first, or chronological, The Magician's Nephew first, or third option, I would say that the order doesn't matter. Personally, definitely reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe first. It makes so much sense. It even, especially since reading The Magician's Nephew, it mentions what happened in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe years later. And it's definitely made, it's like the Star Wars films. You're supposed to watch 4, 5, 6, and then episodes 1, 2, and 3. Because otherwise, the I Am Your Father line is not a surprise. And I know it's hard for it to be a surprise in the culture today where everyone knows about it. But, I mean, my parents hid me in a closet until I was ready to see it. So I actually was surprised when I saw it at age 5, 6, 7, or 8. I don't remember. It's all a blur now. But that pretty much wraps up everything we have to say, or I have to say today. And unfortunately, I am going to let you down by not putting any more teaser music in the ending of these podcasts, because I've run out. But hopefully I'll be able to find some more. And I absolutely love the music, by the way, from the Journey Back to Narnia video. It has some really good music. So I am going to end with a brief clip from Harry Gregson-Williams the fact that we're actually looking forward to the real musical score coming out in, let's see, it's the 14th as I speak, so it's less than 2 months away. The soundtrack comes out in less than 2 months, so let's look forward to that. This is your host, Rillian. If you want to email me, again, you can email me at rillian@narniaweb.com. And if you want to send in feedback, or if you just want to write a review of the podcast, you can give us a rating on the iTunes Music Store. That's always an option. And I will be gone for the next week or so. I will not be answering very many emails, and I will not be able to answer my phone because I'll be in the mountains. So I will be roughing it, especially for a podcasting techno geek like I am. Thanks for listening, and until next time, I'm your host, Rillian.